Will those who are able please stand? And a quick note to those of you who are new to our village, watch the L's and the C's in this little worship folder. They're right up next to the words, so sometimes they're hard to see. I'm L. Everybody else is C. So follow along as best you can. Listen to your neighbor if you're not quite comfortable.
Mother, Earth, and Father, Son. I'd like to invite you to sit comfortably. Take a few deep breaths. You put your feet down, settle into your chair as we enter into prayer. Let our bodies be our prayer as we gather in this space. Let our bodies find some rest as we breathe our prayers to God. Breathing in, we find our voice. Breathing out, we cry to God. Breathing in, we seek divine mercy. Breathing out, we honor love's forgiveness. Breathing in, we receive the word in whom is our hope. Breathing out, we wait for the Holy One. Let us take a moment of rest in God's presence. We continue with the song, Seeking God's Mercy, in the worship form.
Said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of God. Thus says the Holy God to these bones, I will cause breath to you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put spirit in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Holy One. So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then God said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the spirit, thus says the one holy God, come from the four winds, O spirit, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. I prophesied as God commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then God said to me, mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the one God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Holy One when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Holy One, have spoken and will act. The word of life. Thanks. Thank you.
For the psalm, we will sing number 636 together. 636. Death, but that of the Spirit is life and peace. The mind of the flesh stands in opposition to God. It is not subject to God's law. Indeed, it cannot be, since those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Those who do not have the Spirit of Christ do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit lives because of righteousness. If the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then the one who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through the Spirit dwelling in you. The word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Will those who are able please stand as we prepare for the good news? We continue with the gospel acclamation in your worship folder. I have struggled for a long time now on how to preach about the resurrection. What does it mean? What is it really? How will it happen? You get a lot of those questions when you teach confirmation. I grew up with a dad who talked often enough for me to remember about heaven being a place with glorious trout streams where he could fish all day, and his fishing would be divinely pleasing, that is, pleasing of the divine. This, of course, is very edifying for my dad because he loves to fish. And I think he came up with this version of heaven not specifically to say that he firmly believes that that is all that heaven is, but to refute the opinion of his high school students who kept telling him that heaven didn't sound that great if all we were going to do is sit around in clouds and play harps and sing all day. My dad's version of heaven has stuck with me for a long time. And part of me still has some hope that it will indeed be an actual place where we are eternally happy, doing whatever it is that we were created to do and loving every moment, pleasing God with our happy activities. Another part of me, the part that has taught confirmation classes for the past 7 years, has to wonder about the resurrection of the body. That's kind of a stickler when you get into the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed, that document of faith that has been so important for so many people, and which at the same time has caused so very many people to reject Christianity altogether, states that as Christians we believe in the resurrection of the body. This is based on the fact that Jesus rose from the dead in recognizable bodily form. And since our resurrection is reportedly going to be like Jesus' resurrection, we too will rise in bodily form. But these two ideas don't necessarily jive. What if I, like so many women, don't like my body? Living in it for eternity does not ring of joy. What if I have a body that doesn't function at 100% all the time? Will I have to face eternity with what we down here call handicaps? That hardly seems fair. What about the fact that we know our bodies decay? We can see the corrupted flesh and the bare bones of those who have died before us. Why aren't their bodies but them? Or will we be given new and improved bodies? Jesus' body still carried the marks of his crucifixion. His was not new and improved. From all accounts, the reason the disciples recognized him was because he appeared in the same body he had had when he died. What then of our bodies? And then we read things like Paul's letter to the Romans. Paul tells us in his letter that our flesh is weak and corrupt and completely shunnable. So why would we, or God for that matter, want to bring it into the resurrection? Why lug around all that baggage if it's only going to drag us down? Or will that fault too be corrected by this miraculous event that's going to happen sometime down the road? Even with all these questions, I can't help but hope that there will be some sort of a resurrection, an eternal heaven experience, where we are all so amazingly in tune with one another that we can be what we are intended to be, and we can fully enjoy being with others who are uniquely who they are created to be, and we will finally realize all the potential that these earthly forms were given in the first place, body, mind, and spirit. But in our gospel reading for today, Jesus points to a whole other reality. If you would have been here, Lazarus would not have died, say both Martha and Mary, as their greetings to Jesus. I think this is part faith statement and part challenge, part accusation, part hurt. But it is because of their faith and trust in Jesus that they can cry that challenge and accusation and hurt at him and know that he will respond. Which Jesus does in a most peculiar way, a way that we tend not to recognize as anything particularly significant, if we have our heads in the clouds and our eyes on that final judgment day sometime in the future, sort of resurrection, and we are not open to any other possibilities. Jesus says, I am the resurrection. I am life. Do you believe? Martha has already proclaimed her faith that Lazarus will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. But Jesus is pointing her away from some future event. Everything he says is framed in the present. The crowds of mourners rebuke him, saying that since he has healed the blind, he could at least have done something to save his friend Lazarus. They point to the mocking Jesus will receive while hanging on the cross. They too point to a future event. But Jesus is weeping in the present. Jesus is deeply moved in the here and now. Jesus tells them to roll away the stone right now, which despite their professed belief, they are reluctant to do because the body of Lazarus, that essential part of the resurrection, though our dear friend Paul says it's not worth anything, will already have begun to stink in its decaying. Little side note here. I think Jesus is a little afraid he might have been wrong. I sense in his actions and words a bit of a reluctance to proceed, for fear that his prophetic vision may not be correct. His weeping and his deep emotions, why would they be present if he was approaching the tomb with confidence? He may be moved by the tears of his friends, but why not just comfort them and tell them what he's about to do? Why not just do it without the preamble prayer to Abba God? That's the end of the aside. But Jesus isn't wrong. Jesus has it right. He calls for Lazarus to come out, and wrapped in his burial linens, out comes Lazarus, body and all. And the people are to untie him and let him go free. The body, even Lazarus's decaying 4 days dead body, is not so corrupt that the Christ cannot bring it to life in the here and now, in the present, in this moment. Ezekiel's dry bones. I wonder if those people didn't have need of their bones in the heavenly realm. But instead, they were resurrected. Yes, indeed, there was a resurrection before the Christ came. They were resurrected here on earth, full and whole and fleshy and bony and living again. Dried out, weathered and brittle, the bones of a whole nation, we are told, were brought back to life. Jesus uses three words. Lazarus, come out. And in his emerging from the darkness of bondage to whatever it was that bound him, Lazarus was brought to new life. Ezekiel was told to prophesy to the winds to bring back these dry bones to new life. And the wind comes and the breath of God stirs in them, not just sinews and flesh, but real life, living in this world, in this time. Come out, says Jesus. Breathe, says Ezekiel. Might we do the same inviting and unbinding and bring the resurrection and the life into our midst? Might we be the vessels through whom the Spirit blows, through whom the Christ speaks, inviting people out of their bondage, out of their chalets, out of whatever gloom it is that holds them? Can we say to one another, come out. Come out and play. Come out and into the sun. Come out and be who you are. Come out and walk and talk. Can we breathe the life of Christ right into one another by making space for real living? Can we breathe the life of Christ into one another by acknowledging our own brittleness and dry cracks and accepting the brittleness and dry cracks in others? Breathing on one another as we breathed on the plants last night, with the plants last night, exchanging the stuff of life with and for each other. I wonder if this might be the stuff of resurrection and life. I still have hope that there is a really bizarre, somehow resurrection of the body, mind, and spirit that will take us into a state of being or a realm or a dimension or whatever name we want to give it, in which we are so near to God and so near to our true selves and to one another and to creation that we will live in great happiness and joy for all time. But I do not think that that is the only resurrection, or that it is mutually exclusive of a here and now resurrection. For Jesus is the resurrection, not Jesus will be the resurrection later. Jesus is life, not Jesus will be life later. And so the resurrection and life are present here with us now. It's sort of a mystery, but sort of not. For I can see resurrection and life in the here and now. I see it in the work of the Spirit, calling us out of our bondage to what we cannot do or cannot be, exhilarating us with inspiration and creativity as we move towards summer, beckoning to us to refresh our bodies and souls through the winds of spring and new growth around us, breathing into us the stuff of life, and giving us the gift of our true selves through relationships that serve to untie us from the bonds of whatever is holding us. So in case you haven't gotten the invitation yet, allow me to be the one to share it with you. Breathe. Come out. Live.
Amen. Will those who are able please stand with me as a sign of our standing in solidarity with and walking alongside those for whom we pray. Each petition will end with the phrase, "Open our hearts." The congregation will then sing the intercessory response that is printed in the worship folder. When the community offers prayers, we will wait to sing the response until the end of all of the community prayers. Let us pray. Do not harden our hearts, but give us hearts of gratitude for the sun that warmed our faces and the wind that blew over us today. Now we have heard your word in this place. We pray for your breath, blowing your spirit into our souls, bringing us into new life in you. Open our hearts. Do not harden our hearts, but show us how to unbind each other as your servants in the world. Teach us to know each other here in this community and in your body throughout the world. We thank you for our relationship with the Church in El Salvador, Bishop Gomez, and the cross sent to us as a reminder of our connection to the people of El Salvador. Open our hearts.
Show us your presence.
Do not harden our hearts, but give us hope for the suffering of our world. We pray for people who are victims of violence, in war, or in their homes. We pray also for the sick, and especially for Peter Hinks, Aunt Lynn Madison. Open our hearts.
Show us your presence.
Do not harden our hearts, but give us peace as some in our community and families bear the pain of grief. We pray especially for Diane and her family as they grieve the loss of her mother. Open our hearts.
Show us your presence.
For what else do we pray?
Be with our young ones as they return after taking a 4-hour-long test, the SAT.
Pray for Natalie and Johanna as they prepare to affirm their baptism. May we journey with them.
Church, that we might not always have to study things, that we might be more open to risking,
for our community, especially those who do not live or are not in this Holy Valley.
For all those who grieve, for whatever reason.
all of our youth who are our hope.
For all those who care for, watch with, and minister to the sick.
For those who know the despair of depression, and for those who care for them.
Do not harden our hearts, but open our hearts to the challenge of your life. Each day you speak to us your word of life. Each day we know the pain of death, either within us, near us, or in our world. Teach us the way of resurrection that brings us back into life, into the dance, into fellowship with you and with each other. Open our hearts.
Show us your presence.
Do not harden our hearts, but give us faith that you hear our prayers. Restore to us the joy of your love and uphold us with your Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share a sign of God's peace with one another.
With no one taking precedence. When the bread is broken, I will set a portion of our feast aside, what we call a table setting for Elijah. That is meant for the stranger, for anyone and everyone who has not yet been made welcome at this table. We hope to see the day when all people will be truly welcome and join in this great feast together. I invite those who are able to please stand with us. And when we get to the Eucharistic prayer part, you got to turn a page, but also at that time, please place a hand, if you feel comfortable doing so, place a hand on the shoulder or take the hand of a person next to you so that we are all physically forming a unity around this table. The Great Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
our brothers and sisters throughout time at God's table, let us join these same brothers and sisters now praying as our table prayer, the prayer Jesus taught us. I invite you to follow along in the worship folder, address God as you feel called to do so. Let us pray. Abba, Ima in heaven, holy is your name. Your culture come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those indebted to us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For yours is the reign and the power and the mercy, now and forever. Amen. This is the body of Christ, broken for the healing of the world. Come to the feast. The body and blood of Christ, which we have now received, strengthen us and keep us in God's grace. Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving one, who meets our needs and fills our souls with good things, open our eyes to see the help that you bring us in this meal. Help us to see and know the signs of your presence. Help us to see and know your sustenance and your protection in all that surrounds us. Through this meal, help us to see and know ourselves as your holy vessels. And in leaving your table, help us to see and know one another and this world as holy in your sight. In the name of Christ we pray.
Amen. Now is the acceptable time, O God, so let us work together with courage and renewed hope. Holy Mother and Father, keep us and nourish us throughout this season. Incarnate One, walk with us and be our strength and our hope for these 40 days. Wisdom and Word, guard us and guide us on our journey. Amen. Our sending hymn is number 390, and there is a cantor part, but we're just going to disregard that, so everybody sing everything. Hymn number 390.
Thank you.
all that surrounds you.
Thanks. Thank you.